hate to say it, but I told you so. Don't mind my preaching to you. I said, don't trust them, baby, now you know.
You don't learn everything there is to know in school.
Wouldn't believe me when I gave advice. I said that he was a tease. If you won't help, you'd better ask me now.
So be sincere, convince me with a pretty please. Laugh, laugh, I thought I'd die. It seems so funny to me.
And what a voice that is, huh? That's Sal Valentino of the Bo Brummels, a big hit. You know, when the English invasion all but swept American music from the charts in 1964, San Francisco's Bo Brummels were revered by rock historians for firing the first retaliatory shot from the colonies against the likes of the Beatles, the Stones, the Animals, the Kinks, the Zombies, and the Dave Clark Five. Laugh, Laugh went top 20 in the fall of that year, and Just a Little did the same in early 1965. And Sundazed has put together a great 3-CD set of the best of the Bo Brummels San Francisco sessions. And we have with us right now the man you just heard singing, Sal Valentino. Hi, Sal.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
This is it's great news to see this kind of stuff released again. You must be kind of enjoying a little renaissance, huh?
Well, yes. I'm glad that there are a lot of good songs that we had back in 64, 65, and I'm glad that people got to hear them.
How difficult was it for an American group like yourselves to break the charts with that stronghold that the British had in the mid-60s?
Well, I can't say that we had much trouble at all because Laugh Laugh was our first record.
Yeah.
And we were only together about 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 at the most, but we were together for like a summer job. I don't think any of us, maybe the exception of Ron Elliott, who wrote most of the songs that we recorded, or that I sang, expected a musical career in front of us. And Tom Donahue and Bob Mitchell and Sly Stone came and saw us playing down the peninsula from San Francisco and said, we want to record you. And 3 months later, Laugh Laugh was released, and it was a hit.
What kind of reaction did you guys have? You must have been in shock.
Well, yeah. It was shock, yes. Because we were literally swept away. We didn't know what we were doing.
I mean, you guys went you know, on the power of Laugh Laugh and then Just a Little, you guys were out there touring with the Beach Boys and the Four Tops and the Supremes, the Yardbirds, the Lovin' Spoonful. I mean, some big, big names had you with them.
Yes. Well, we never imagined. Like I say, we never imagined we got swept away that we'd be playing with people like the Beach Boys. Beach Boys were the biggest band in California at the time, still were, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
We were glad to meet all those people and play with them, get to see them play. And the Cow Palace shows that Tom Tonio and Bob Mitchell did were also another treat. We got to see even more people play those.
Now, obviously, your voice is the thing that people, as soon as they hear you singing, they know Bo Brummel's sound from Sal Valentino's voice. How old were you when you first started singing? When did you think that maybe I could be a pro?
Well, I never thought I could be a pro, to tell you the truth. I started singing, I guess in my teens. And then, as it turned out, people found out that I sang in North Beach, where I grew up, and also where I went to grammar school. And at the boys' club there, they would do benefits, and I was asked to do one. And after a couple, I guess, I met Ron Elliott. I was 15 at the time. He was 13.
Hmm.
And then we had a few bands together from that time on. And then we were playing myself, John Peterson, Ron Elliott, and a guy that played saxophone and a lot of other instruments. We were playing these dances, Irish dances. We were called the Irish Californians, as a matter of fact. And Declan Mulligan, the Irishman in our band, met Ron Elliott and suggested putting a group together. And at the time, I'd been playing down in North Beach, off nights, things like that. Ron called me and asked me if I wanted to come check it out. And I stuck. But I never really, I always wanted to sing. I didn't ever really know that I was very good. Or
What were your initial impressions of listening to some of the songs that Ron wrote?
Oh, well, for one thing, young. I'd never met anyone or had ever been around anyone like Ron Elliott. And I just thought it was just great. I tried to write a little bit myself, but it wasn't anything like what Ron could do. Ron was really crafted writer.
Did you know when you heard Laugh, Laugh, and Just a Little and some of the other songs that they had potential to be big hits?
I couldn't say that I did, no. We had a lot of songs. I guess we had maybe about 15 songs that Ron did that we were doing, along with a lot of Beatles songs and a lot of English band songs and Buddy Holly and the Cricket songs, Everly Brothers, whatever people liked that we were playing for. And I guess the Beatles thing inspired Ron and all of us, you know, to like what we were doing.
What is Ron Elliott doing nowadays?
Ron is a painter nowadays. I believe the last thing I heard, I don't get to talk to him much, is that he lost the use of one of his arms from due to his diabetes, and so he doesn't do music anymore.
Huh. That's a tragic loss. The guy is a great songwriter.
Well, yeah. He told me once when he was young that he wasn't expected to live past 40. And he's going to be 53 this year, so I guess he considers himself lucky that way.
Hmm. And are you staying in the music business? What have you been doing?
Well, yes, I am. Well, I decided to go back into the music business. I was away from it for about 15 years. And then I came up damaged one day where I was working, and I was on disability for a while, and I decided that maybe I should go back to singing. I never got hurt doing that. So over the last 4 years, I guess, I've been out singing again. I started up doing some oldie shows, and now I have bands of my own, and I'm doing concerts of my own. Primarily what we're doing and what I'm doing is a lot of material from the Sundays box set and also from a couple of Warner Brothers albums that we did while we were there with Lenny Warnker and some Dylan songs and some songs of mine.
What kind of reaction are you getting from the crowds out there nowadays?
Well, when they find out they can get a chance to hear again, is they've been good. I mean, the people that have showed up have been real good. The reaction has been real good.
Yeah.
I haven't played them that much because one thing, the Brummels, like a lot of other bands, dropped out of it and never looked back. And so a lot of people just sort of forgot about us. Or there was a rumor a couple of years ago that I had died.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of scratching and clawing my way back into it. But it's going well. I mean, I'd like to be working a little more, but... I'm working enough.
Yeah, someone told me, they said, ask Sal about the rumor that he's dead. I said, well, if I ask him and he answers that he's, then I guess he's not. Yeah, they said the same thing about the guy who played Eddie Haskell, too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to be dead.
Interesting about my rumor, it turned up in a publication in London called The Record Collector. And as the story went, someone got up on a stage in London and dedicated You Tell Me Why to Sal Valentino, who had passed away a couple years ago. And I took to it because, for one thing, You Tell Me Why it was my favorite song of all the songs we did. And a friend of mine who had been playing with me wrote to the record collector and said, he isn't dead. I played with him a couple of weeks ago. So they reprinted the story and re-entitled it Valentino Lives. So maybe that's the start of things for me now.
It's interesting when you look at the juxtaposition of going and cutting a record, having it hit the top 10 right away out of nowhere. And then you folks broke up right around 66 or so?
Yes.
Now, what was the reason for the breakup?
Well, the reason for the breakup is, for one thing, Ron, due to his health, wasn't able to travel as much as we could. And we replaced him with a few different people, and the last guy that we had really fit in well and been with us for a year, and he got drafted. And he went. And so at that point, John Peterson and I decided that, well, maybe we'll take a little time off and then regroup again. And Ron Meager, the bass player, had to do some National Guard duty, I believe. And so we decided we'd stop for a while. We just started making records with Lenny Warnker. And we actually did a single with him that we really felt real good about. But Bill Gavin... didn't take to the single because he thought the chorus of it had So that was a big blow to us. And then we sort of, so in that period of time, John Peterson got an offer to play with the Tiki's, who became the Harper's Bazaar.
Oh.
And had a hit with Feeling Groovy.
Sure.
And so he stayed with them, and there was no band. And so then Ron and I continued to make records with Lenny Warnker. We did a couple of albums, one Triangle, that got a lot of acclaim. Unfortunately, it came out just before Sgt. Pepper, and once everyone heard Sgt. Pepper, they didn't want to hear anyone else.
Mm.
And then we did an album called Bradley's Barn. It was real good, too, but we didn't really get much play on it or anything.
Now, Triangle was actually, you did that with Randy Newman and Van Dyke Parks and a few other people like that, right?
Yeah, they were all... Lenny Warnker was producing them at the time. He was producing, Van Dyke was an artist of his, and Randy is someone he grew up with and also was an artist of his. And he did the Everly Brothers record, Roots. And Leon Russell was around. He worked with him on the Harper's Bazaar stuff, and he also worked with us on some things. And so it was a nice group. We really had a good time, and it was a great experience for us. In fact, some of the things we did... Well, most of the things we did at Warner Bros. Are probably the best things we ever did. Not the most successful, but as artists, we really matured in Hollywood at that time, especially being around with all those talented guys.
I'm talking with Sal Valentino of the Bull Brummels. One of the things I find really interesting is the sound of the Bull Brummels. It really was kind of like a folk rock sound well before Bob Dylan or the Byrds or any of these other folks made noise in that direction. And then with the album Bradley's Barn, you were actually doing country rock before it became known as country rock. Are you kind of a pioneer in the music biz?
Well, it turns out we were in some ways. You know, the Bradley's Barn album, I don't know that it was the first venture by a California band or a band outside of Nashville to go to Nashville and do something. I think Joan Baez had gone there. And also, I think, I'm not sure... Dylan maybe was there just before us or just after us.
Well, he was just after. He was about 6 months.
They did some things, but they didn't really. I think the Byrds pretty much manufactured them themselves. But our album, what I like about our album a lot is that we went and we didn't really come away with a country record, so to speak. You know, we didn't use the steel guitars and the violins and stuff. But primarily, it was focused once again around me and Ron Elliott, Ron's playing and my singing.
The country folk sound on that album sounds, it kind of reminded me later on of the sound developed by the Eagles. Kind of a...
Yeah, I'm sure in progression, yeah. Well, I believe it, you know, I'm surprised sometimes at how, of where our influences are, or where they, what came from them.
Talking about Sal Valentino, Sal.
I hear a lot of new bands now that are doing, you know, the kinds of music. I've heard, or I've read that the singer of... R.E.M.,
mm-hmm.
a big Bull Brummels fan. So that music, I guess we're in the right place, you know, what we're doing. Ron Elliott was a real good writer. He just wasn't, you know, we weren't doing like, you know, what he was doing was crafted, and he had some background behind him. And also, when I met Ron, he was trying to write show tunes. He was trying to write musicals and light opera and stuff like that.
We're talking with Sal Valentino of the Bull Brummels. And again, they have a brand new 3-CD set released by Sunday's Musical Recordings. It's called San Fran Sessions, and it has everything you'd ever want to know about the Bull Brummels, alternate takes, solo stuff. It's really great stuff. It's available right now at the record store of your choice. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the influences that Sal had when he was growing up in terms of music and some of the people he thinks today that are making the best music out there. We'll be back right after this. What a great song. I love this music. This Bull Brummels music makes me up. I want to go dance and run out and have a good time, you know? That's the kind of music this is. And with us right now, of course, is Sal Valentino, whose voice you just heard singing lead on that song. And I just want to, where'd you grow up, Sal?
In San Francisco.
San Francisco.
So,
what were the kinds of influences that you had growing up in terms of music?
Well, I took to country music when everybody else was listening to what was going on, which I guess was the Everly Brothers, Elvis Presley, Buddy Holly, and that. I liked all that too, but I was really sort of mesmerized by country music there for a while. I don't know exactly why, but the one thing of that I found most attractive was Ray Charles, believe it or not.
Huh.
I never thought that I could ever sing like him. I just liked his performances. In fact, I think the first record ever got of Ray Charles was Drowning My Own Tears. Of course, I'd been doing what I'd say, like a lot of people, when I was singing around San Francisco. But the Everly Brothers, I guess, had the greatest influence on me. I never really tried to sing like anybody. And also, too, you have to understand, when the Brummels started out as a band, we were unique in that everybody else was trying to do Motown, which Motown was the most popular thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did, I think I used to sing Where Did Our Love Go by the Supremes. And I guess I did Kind of get a witness for a little while. But that was only because that's what people wanted to hear. I can't say that I was very good at it.
You seem very self-deprecating for a guy who has a voice that's one of the better ones in rock and roll.
Well, I've been lucky, you know. Like I say, on the internet, someone asked me a question recently about my singing, and I always, from the start, I was flattered or pleased to be included. I just didn't think I was the best. There's always somebody I admired and I thought was good. I was always trying to do the best that I could. In my case, it was my voice, or the sound of my voice, that seems to be still outstanding. Unusual.
What about, I'm one of these people who, and maybe it's my age, but I've always felt that the music of the mid-60s to the early 70s was probably the best in this country at this, and people sometimes argue some of the music I hear nowadays, the heavy metal, the rap, I wonder if there's really music out there. And then you listen to certain new songs that come out and you like them, but is there anybody out nowadays that you think is making really good music, and do you compare it all to the stuff make now that was made to the mid-60s?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know that there, for one thing, the 60s was a time in itself, you know, with everything that was going on politically and socially. But I really don't, I think we, the Bo Brummels and all of the bands at that time, or all the people that were growing up in that time, were lucky to have that explosion of the Beatles. Because the Beatles, as it turns out, had some real musical power behind them, which came with George Martin. But Their songwriting very clear and very plain and very good and very musical and all those kind of things. And I think until another force comes around like that, we're not gonna see that again.
Hmm.
I think there's been I guess there hasn't been another Beatles since the Beatles, but who knows when that'll happen.
Well, it's interesting because
I think right now too is the times are different in that. I think right now the girls or the women are more of a force than they were in the 60s and more than they've ever been. And as record makers, most of the records that I like are done by female artists.
Yeah, some of them are doing some of the nicer things. We just had on fairly recently Sean Colvin, who's doing some great stuff out there.
Yeah.
And people like that.
I think Alanis is very good. I think Sheryl Crow makes some interesting records too.
Mm-hmm.
I love Patti Loveless. She's a country artist, but she has a great voice, great presence and stuff. Most of the records that seem to carry along. Joan Osborne is very strong. So this is a different time.
Well, folks out here have been asking me to ask you, so I will. Are you going to be coming to Boston at all? Any plans for a concert out here?
Well, I'd like to. As soon as I can arrange, whenever I can arrange something.
you do one of the tents down there?
Boston, I think the bar, we actually never played Boston.
Really?
Brummels. Yeah, I think in 75 we did a reunion album and we were there or something. We played a club in Boston somewhere. I can't remember which, but that's as familiar as I am with it.
Well, the next time we talk to some club owners around here, we'll furnish them with your number and see if we can get something going.
Yeah, there's a, I've been to, last year I did some concerts with Shadows of the Night, and that might bring me into the Boston area, but I still don't know when.
Shadows of the Night still together, huh?
Yeah, Jimmy Sons is still singing, yeah.
Wow, that's great. Well, I want to wish you a lot of luck, and again, folks out there who love the Bo Brummels, you'll love the San Fran sessions. They're from Sundays to Records, and it's a 3-CD set, very reasonably priced. Check it out at your record store. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for calling.
All right, Sal.
All right.
Bye-bye.